I'm Amber.
And I'm Leslie, and you're listening to
The Grimmistics. Friends,
howdy howdy, how's everybody doing?
Good, we hope.
Good, we hope. Sorry, I talk with my hands and I know I'm being recorded, so it's even worse. Good, we hope. Amber, how are you?
I'm good. So guys, we just wanted to point out we are actually recording the podcast on our cameras. So if you're listening to it audibly, it might be a little choppy while we get used to staring at ourselves. Also, Leslie and I had a full discussion about camera angles, and you might notice that if you're watching the video, sometimes I'm going to turn my body and look at Leslie, and sometimes I'm going to try to remember that you don't want to see the side of my face.
Yeah, we're rookies, but it will get better. So
yes, I think we both just realized like our setups are not prepared for camera work yet, so it's just something we're gonna have to learn as we go.
Right, like there was a lot of pressure to have like the perfect YouTube background, and
yes,
mine's just white. It's not perfect at all, which is gray disappointing. But that's okay. One day we'll have a really good background.
Exactly. And you guys will be able to remember this moment with us when we've made it big. So we're just setting up a nostalgia moment ahead of time.
Love that. And if you're listening by ears, then you don't give a shit about any of this. So
you don't. So we're going to go ahead and just jump in. Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Sabbatical week, day 10, honestly. Oh. So I'm doing really good. We talked about it before. Sleeping really well. Just, you know, even though the world is dying, I'm thriving. So love that.
You know, we did talk about too. You said to someone that you thrive in chaos. So like, this is actually like your time
on brand for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel like I am like a half and half. Like I can put my head down and get work done when it's chaotic, but also like I feel like I panic a little bit. So. That is okay. Probably something that anxiety medication will fix someday.
Yeah, someday, right? And here's your reminder to take your meds.
Yeah, here you go. Take your meds. Well, Leslie, should we just jump into what we're going to talk about today? I feel like it's something that we teased about. It's here. We have watched the second Twilight movie.
Ta-da! Da-da-da-da! I said, there's no segue to that.
There isn't.
New moon, same us.
That is crazy that it's new moon, though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. Like, kind of a full circle moment. Like,
well, yeah, the whole, because you also have like eclipse and stuff. So you've got like the whole series is definitely.
Well, no, I mean with us, because our first episode coming back was new moon, new us.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the epitome of like what we actually changed and like enjoy talking about.
New moon, new us. New moon,
new Twilight.
New moon. I don't, anyway, okay. I gardened.
So did I. And we're recording this during the day. Like, we've totally thrown off everything in our equilibrium. So,
like, we're wide awake. Like, it's 10 a.m. Like,
I don't have a toddler sleeping in my house, so I can be as loud as I want.
Be silly. So.
But we watched, is it Twilight New Moon? Is that what you told me?
Just New Moon.
Oh, okay. So like Twilight doesn't come before all the titles?
Mm-mm. No, Twilight's just the first one. It's the Twilight Saga.
Oh, okay. The Saga. I understand. Mm-hmm. So we watched the second one, which is called New Moon. Leslie, this is your comfort series. So what were you... was there anything you were excited for me as a newbie to see? Like, was there a reaction you were waiting to witness? Was there not?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, really?
Because I just feel like it's such a better movie than the first one. Like, I said it last time. I said it when we watched. and I'll say it right. today.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to go up from here. So like the filter, I was excited for you to, for the filter to be gone. I know that
the
really
filter was gone.
Fucked you up.
Yeah, I did not
respectfully.
Like
respectfully. Right.
Respectfully.
So,
so
and I like new director. And I like the very first minute Edward was on the screen, I couldn't even contain it. I was like, don't you think he looks like a little better? Like a little better than last time. So I was actually really excited to watch it. It's not even my favorite in the whole series either. So I just
really, because I could feel your excitement actually. Like I could tell that like you were, it's kind of like in the best way possible. Bless you, Avery.
Bless
in
you.
The best in the best way possible. It was your I told you so moment. Because I could feel it. I could feel, you know, I've had a few instances in my life when Leslie has had the opportunity to say, I told you so.
Hopefully I don't say it. Like,
nope, it's a very, nope, it's a very fun kind. I just feel the energy that comes off of you. And I know I'm about to have an I told you so moment.
Okay,
okay.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. I was feeling your energy. It was better. I will tell you, you were correct. The filter gone really was better. The only thing is we kidnapped. I was just about to say freaking kidnapped. We stole or bootlegged a version off of YouTube.
Yes.
So there was a weird face filter, like an AI filter over the movie. And it freaked me out.
It fucked me up too.
But we didn't have to buy the movie, so like I'm all for saving a dime. So
well, because and this like the whole thing, it wouldn't be us if there wasn't like some issue, right? Mm-hmm. So like we were together. We actually were able to be together this time,
mm-hmm.
and we were at Amber's house, and I brought my movie over. You know, because I'm like, we can actually watch the same movie this time. Like, it was exciting. And fucking the Xbox that you guys have, you can't put movies in.
So I talked to my husband about, because here's the thing, like, maybe other spouses can identify with this feeling, but you know when you have the urge to call your spouse to fix something for you when they're not home, and you know that this is not important to them.
But it was important at the time.
But it was important to me. And so that like battle of if I call my husband, who has to have a meeting with the mayor once a week,
right, who has like
his
a
job,
important job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I call him during work to ask him how his Xbox works, I don't think he'll be super stoked with me.
Appreciative of the interruption. Fair enough.
Yes. So that was also the battle I was having while we were trying to figure it out was like, do not call Craig right now.
When we had obviously heavily gardened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a whole situation, guys. So and we'll jump back to that. But we I did learn from my husband later, and I think you were still there.
I was.
Xbox is now digital.
Well, so, the mini. You guys have the mini. Looked it up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We have a mini one, which is mm-hmm. digital, and they don't have a slot for discs. So if you want to watch it, you actually have to buy like something with a USB that'll plug in that is a disc reader, is what Craig said.
Which like that makes total sense. But like the millennial in me is like heartbroken.
We've
discussed like I have a emotional connection to my mm-hmm. DVDs. Like I can't get rid of them.
Girl, do you want to know? So slight derail. My dad came over and he was like, hey, I was cleaning out my closet and I found your old DVD player that you used to take on road trips. And it looked like a laptop. I had to put it on my lap and you put a DVD in and you hit play on. Like I used it up until like college because mm-hmm. I worked outside. So I would watch DVDs while I worked outside.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Love that.
So my dad found it and we're actually, I was like, well, we don't have any DVDs. And my mom was like, they're like $3 now. Like, just go get some kids DVDs for ravioli. And Craig's like,
good.
We did a road trip last summer and it was, you know, a little tough. So like,
mm-hmm.
that might be good. But then my dad was telling me, I don't remember this, and I don't know if you feel bad when your parents like obviously spent money on something that they thought was going to be a memory and it wasn't. Okay. But my parents told me that before that one, they had a one that was actually a VHS that could plug into the car.
Oh my God.
And then it had a screen that like separated like the back seat from the front seat. And it was like a projector somehow. And you could watch a movie on a screen. And they had that one before they had the DVD one.
Oh my God.
That's were explaining
like some fucking Jetson shit.
I was like, you guys were the Joneses. Like, everyone wanted to keep up with you with this fun little thing.
No,
like,
shit, that is so fucking cool. Yeah, that's cool.
And they got it because when I was like six, we drove from Colorado to California to go see my family. And that was their, they were like, you were a TV kid. So we had to bring the TV with us.
You were a tablet kid and that was a tablet.
In that era, yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. Of course, that was a thing. That's really fucking cool.
So next time we watch the movie at my house, I will have that little DVD thing that we can watch instead of the Xbox. But we'll probably do the next video at your house.
Next one's going to be at my house. It's going to be a spooky because it's going to have to be at night because Robbie's going to be working.
Oh, so yeah. Okay. And the movies get more intense from here, don't they?
I almost even rewatched the second one last night. I almost did.
I thought about it too. Yeah.
I didn't. I probably would need to. I don't think the third one is. The last one's my fave for sure.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the last one I do remember seeing in the theaters because of that iconic shift that they did. Mm-hmm. So that one I remember more of. But I didn't even remember this movie, to be completely honest.
Oh, no, I did remember it for sure.
Well, we know.
Yeah, so what were your, like, okay, so I did look up some fun facts.
Okay, perfect.
About, this is just a BuzzFeed article, and it's 21 things you probably didn't know. Oh, this one does do Twilight, like, two dots, new moon. So they do include Twilight. BuzzFeed does. I didn't know that.
Okay, well, maybe it depends on what side of the fandom you're on.
Maybe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fun fact number one, it doesn't explain what scene this was from, but apparently Rob Pat pulled a muscle in his butt cheek the first day of shooting.
Wow, that is newsworthy.
And the picture they have is when they're in the Volturi, and it's when Dakota Fanning is doing her mind power on him, and he's like pulled back. That's the picture that BuzzFeed used, so maybe that was the first day of filming. And he,
I was gonna say, like,
that was intense.
He contorted his body, so that would make sense. Because see, the only other person I would think that might have like a butt cramp would be Kristen Stewart when she's running like across the fountain, like she was moving real fast. That would be another cramping moment. But for Rob Pat, that was really the only time he did anything other than act out as a misty shadow.
Okay, I feel some Rob Pat hate. And I think I have sent you, like, I sent you a whole, like, I think it, maybe if I didn't, then I'll try and find it and send it so we can post it. It was like a whole montage of, like, Rob Pat just being a phenomenal actor.
I haven't seen it yet, so if you did send it, I haven't watched it.
Okay, I will try and find it again. It was, like, all of his different accents, like, all of his different movies. Like, you know, I don't know how you don't love him. I just don't. I don't understand. It's okay. It took me many years to finally just like totally fall in love with him.
I think that he seems uncomfortable and it makes me uncomfortable.
Oh no, I love him so much. That's so disappointing.
I'm getting like, and maybe it'll get better. Maybe I'm still judging him based off of these like early performances. But I feel like it is Rob Pattinson uncomfortable because he's playing a vampire in a book that I think he thinks is kind of stupid.
He does think it's stupid.
So I'm just picking up on the vibe that like
he does.
This might have been more of a joke to him. It wasn't as dramatic as the books wanted it to be, you know?
Yeah, he has said that he thinks that the relationship is very toxic. And he understands the like kind of rumors, and not really rumors, but the idea that Stephenie Meyer's kind of like wrote this as like a absolute fantasy, and like Bella is an exaggerated version of herself, and
that's like uncomfortable, because I'm sure that the author Stephenie Meyer's did not show up to set every day, but like, you know, she was present there. Yeah,
I know she was there for sure.
So he's like trying. I think he's trying to do a good job, but I also think he's like, this is a really cringy story.
And that's a good point, because she didn't, I think we talked about it last time, he was not her first choice. She did not want him to be Edward.
So maybe there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's handsome. Like, I do think he's a really handsome dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, my disdain for him is more in his acting than his looks. Sorry.
He didn't blow your socks off as Cedric Diggory. Like,
he felt awkward in that too. Like, less awkward. Oh, but it still felt like a person who was aware that he needed to pretend to be a wizard, instead of someone who is embodying being a wizard.
I can't handle this slander.
I'm so sorry.
Rob Pat slander.
He's not a good actor in these movies. I'm sorry.
we'll disagree. If you're watching this, I don't agree with her.
Well, you know, it'll be even. I'll watch a movie. Well, I'll make sure I watch a movie that I'm obsessed with, and you're probably going to be like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Because I really dig like the 80s and the 90s movies. And yes. I like, but I know like the like I'm remembering when I watch these movies, I remember it from being like a kid watching them, versus like how it probably is going to look fake as fuck to someone who's not obsessed with it. You know?
Okay, fair enough. Which I think they're the wedding, the Greek wedding.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have some.
I really like that movie, maybe, and we'll have, you don't.
Yeah. I've never watched it, so.
Okay, so we could do the My Big Fat Greek Weddings. That could be another one that we do. But yeah, so I think that I am warming up to him. And I'm sure if I watched him in a movie where maybe he wasn't pretending to be a mythical creature, maybe he's a better actor if he doesn't have to think about being like non-human.
I know Shia LaBeouf is a trash human, but he was in a movie with him and Rat Pat, and they were, it was like a ghost demon movie, and they were like Southern preachers, and it's on Netflix. I can't think of the name, but it's really good.
Okay. So I'll, you know what, then maybe we'll save that one too, and then I'll watch that one, and I'll see if maybe it's just the story. Like, I'm picking up on him cringing about the story versus like him actually being a mythical creature. Okay.
And I had a moment of realization. It really wasn't until the wedding scene that like, and when they're on their honeymoon and he's just like so cute. That was when I like fully fell in love with him as Edward.
Okay. So I haven't seen the moment yet.
Yeah. So maybe you'll get there. Cause I will like, you know, I didn't love him as Edward for a really long time either, just because he wasn't what I expected when I was a kid and he was casted. And like, everyone was like, well, what do you expect? And I was like, I don't know, but it wasn't him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't he. I just pictured someone so perfect.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, not in a bad way. Like, I think he's very handsome.
He's human. He's they definitely did. I don't know if you've seen. Like, we've talked about Vampire Diaries, like Damon, the actors who played Damon and Stefan, they fit Wesley. What you imagine a vampire being. And like, same with like True Blood. Like,
I never watched True Blood yet. Okay. I really want to watch it though. It's on my list.
Okay. Well, the blonde vampire in True Blood, like,
stunning
perfection. Okay. He's a 6'8" Swedish man. He played Tarzan.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, he played the most recent Tarzan live action. Like, yeah, he's a perfect human specimen.
even Klaus, I think, is like has a very perfect Vampire Diaries has a very perfect face.
If you're so I like that comparison, because with Vampire Diaries, you either have Damon and Stefan, who are like not the Timothée Chalamet, like, sickly, like, Victorian gorgeous boys. Men. Mm-hmm. They're just beautiful men who, like, mm-hmm. you're like, yes, a vampire that lures me to my death. I would follow okay. that man down a dark alley.
Yeah. Literally. But
Klaus falls more under the Victorian boy,
yeah.
like, fragile, looks like I'm going to fall apart. Like, I've been alive for 100 centuries kind yeah. of guy. Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So both of those work well.
Mm-hmm.
And well enough that they even planned a really good spinoff because of that.
I just think Klaus is a really good character. Like yeah. that writer just mm-hmm. developed that character.
Yeah. This really, I will really well. Say these movies have gotten me in the mood to rewatch True Blood and Vampire Diaries. So like it awoke the teenage obsessed with vampires that I recall being.
I think if we watch Vampire Diaries, we can rewatch it because I really loved it until like season 10.
I feel like I remember binging like a lot of it and then I just slowed down and like I don't even know if I finished it. I don't know if I finished actually. I don't remember. So like
I did. I was on dialysis. So what else was I going to do? Fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I forced myself to finish it.
Okay, so maybe I'll do that because I watch Netflix while I work now. So mm-hmm. maybe I can, like, because that's kind of my mindset too. I've been watching a lot of stuff and, like, my brain's like, oh, like, I don't really want to watch this. But then I'm like, well, what else are you going to do? Like, right. this is a series that everybody says is so good. Like, might good as well point. Try. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I do really want to try. I've never, True Blood scared me when it was, like, a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was on HBO. It's pretty, mm-hmm. yeah. I really love, well, and what awoke the True Blood, like, recollection is when I was looking up stuff for the Lafayette Vampire, I forgot that there's a character in True Blood named Lafayette.
Oh!
And so when you look up Lafayette Vampire, like, you do get some things for the Colorado one, but most of it is his scenes.
Oh, that's and funny.
And that actor was just phenomenal at this part. Like, really, really good. So I like went to bed watching old Lafayette scenes.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
So now we're like on a vampire kick.
Yeah, I think that I will say this did a good job of, helping me remember why vampires were such a big thing in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. This movie definitely did throw me back into that nostalgia. Like I get it.
And it was so big for like our generation, like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Harry Potter was really big, but, like, vampires, like...
Well, because you had these movies and then True Blood and Vampire Diaries, and I'm sure there's another vampire, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a thing.
Charmed, like, weren't there some Charmed. Vampires on there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
like... Movie,
that show also scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I have only watched little bits and pieces. I haven't watched the whole thing.
I watched the episode my cousin was on, and it scared the fuck out of me.
Good cousin shout out. I like that. So, no, I definitely like feel like maybe I'm not jumping in as deep with this movie, but it is waking up the like love of vampires that I
Fair enough.
Had buried in my soul.
Well, and we talked about like we haven't even gotten into our second fun fact. Like we talked about how when we were watching this and you were like, you were reading this while you were actively going through
yeah.
the heartbreak of like, I'll never go through a heart. Thank God. I'll never go through a heartbreak like that ever again. Maybe when yeah. I like lose, obviously, like my dog or something like that or a family mm-hmm. member. But I mm-hmm. will never be heartbroken like I was. And she was also going through this heartbreak. And you were like, you were reading this. And I was like, yeah. And so. That's, I think maybe you understand a little bit why I am so possessive attached. And
yeah.
connected mm-hmm. to this story.
No, like that, because I know you've been saying it and I've been hearing you. I don't want you to think I
have. Oh,
haven't.
No, I know.
But like there was something like awakening of like sitting next to you and watching this movie.
uh-huh.
And like, I hope you don't mind me saying, but
Not
like the... The part where the months go by
yes.
and Bella's just sitting there and there's this really depressing song that is so haunting and like makes your like gives your skin goose pimples. Like this girl's voice is whoever sings that song is phenomenal.
I can hear it in my head right now.
Yeah. That was really heavy. Mm-hmm. And then we gardened. And guys, we almost like kind of got
trafficked.
Yeah, two mommies. Really traffic. Yeah, it felt very trafficky. My neighbors. It was not my neighbor. I want to point out. I don't know. It could have been a neighbor's friend. The neighbor could have hired this person, but they were building a shed. That if you get on the roof, you are in my yard.
like a direct view into the backyard.
Yeah, and bummer, they put it in the side that Craig and I have set up for our fire pit area.
Well, but they're not going to be on the roof.
I hope once not.
It's built.
They have children though, and I'm thinking of children like to climb on things.
My God, I hope not.
Well, but either way, so they were building this shed.
It's tall.
Leslie and I are on the back patio gardening, looking, surveying, thinking, talking, coughing, and all of the above. And what did he say? Because I
two
was
mommies.
Over. The fact that it's like burned so much into your memory. God. Like you whipped that out.
I loved it. I thought it was his. I think, I don't know if I laughed out loud, but my soul laughed.
But okay, so there was that moment, but then it was uncomfortable.
He just kept staring at us.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's one thing if you like catcall and then get back to work, but it's another thing to think that we are inviting it when we laugh at you and don't say anything back.
Yeah, we were just sitting there. We were literally just sitting on Amber's patio. Like,
yeah, so
hanging out.
Awkwardly sitting there. And then I don't even think I finished my gardening session. I was like, I'm done.
We literally were like, okay, because he was up. He like didn't leave. He said two mommies. And we.
And then he was working on the roof. So right. So he set himself up for this because I don't think he thought that through. I would have, if I were a man who didn't respect women, I would catcall when I was done.
Right. Because then you can like stay.
Or like wait until we stand up and we're done because there's an escape. Right. And maybe that's the anxiety in me where I plan, I choreograph conversations in my head. But he made that awkward conversation.
Yeah.
Because he said it right when he popped up on the roof.
He said it so loud too. It was like. It was just like so obvious. He's like, oh, it's two mommies. Like, it was so obvious that he was talking about and to us. And we were just like, okay.
And again, Leslie says it wouldn't be us if things didn't go weird. And this was the epitome of that, because then he wasn't done with the roof the rest of the afternoon, and we have tint on our back windows, so I know he can't see in to our windows, but we could see, him while we were watching the movie, and every time I saw him, I felt uncomfortable again.
I literally just kept like Amber would be like, what are you doing? And I would just be like, oh, sorry. Two mommies.
I just get maybe that's something too. Leslie was making me relive my trauma the entire time. It's fine. It was funny.
Two mommies.
So that was our experience before the movie. And then, so to paint a picture. So that happened. Then we have Xbox, and remember, we were coughing and gardening and enjoying our time. So then it goes to Xbox issues and me debating with myself if I should call my husband. And then we watch a AI bootleg version of Twilight New Moon, which was good. But every once in a while, I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about, that AI face where you're just like, this is too perfect. It's making me uncomfortable.
Vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that every once in a while that pulled me out a little bit, but that wasn't the movie's fault. That was us illegally watching it. So it's kind of our karma for illegally watching something that it's weird. So what's another, do you have more fun facts? Because I feel like we've only done one.
Yeah, I have lots of fun facts. I don't know. Did you want to say anything else about how it was? You were going through that realization during the her depressive montage that I was depressed. That's what we were talking about. Did you finish?
Just
I
don't that know. Anyway. It made sense. Because I feel like that, like she had moments where she was, you know, sitting at the cafeteria trying to like incorporate with her old friends, not saying that we were old friends, but just trying to incorporate with her friends.
Right. No, I know.
And there definitely was like moments where I was just like, oh, I definitely caught Leslie like distracted while she was sitting with us and like maybe not present. So it was weird seeing that mirrored back too, because I was like, oh, like, yeah, like Leslie had these like ups and downs where sometimes you could tell you were kind of able to compartmentalize and and then there were times where it was like I felt like I had like half a conversation with you and I, you know, had to stop and make sure that you were present.
Oh, that's sad.
No, I mean, it's depression. Like,
right.
It's textbook.
She was depressed.
Yeah, right. She did a good job. Her acting, I'm not going to say is better than Rob Pat's because she also seemed awkward and uncomfortable. But you can definitely tell she was pulling from internal experiences during the depressive moments.
Yeah.
Because I'm a critic of acting that I've never done.
I guess so. Tough crowd. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fun fact number two. My Chemical Romance was had an opportunity to write a song for this movie, but Gerard turned it down because he didn't feel like their music would fit the vibe. They had a really good soundtrack.
They did.
All the movies
have good. That is true. Mm-hmm. Soundtrack. Yep. Nope. So, I definitely have considered downloading New Moon soundtrack for sure. Yeah,
they all are good.
But I don't agree. Agreed. My Chemical Romance is the vibe. So maybe Gerard was like, we're not vampire-y, but it's like probably like 30% of your listeners might have at one point thought they were vampires.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think he maybe thought it was like too teeny bop. And it's like most of your listeners were probably teeny bop at that time, myself included.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Gerard maybe didn't have a clear view of what his fans were at that time. Okay. Continue.
This one will be fun. Taylor wore lifts in his shoes to make him taller than Kristen, than Bella. So Jacob was, because he's so little. We love a short king.
We do.
So
I'm impressed. I would be impressed to know if he did flips with the lifts in.
Probably not. Do you think he did his own stunts?
He does his own flips.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah, no, at the Eras, so they Taylor Swift brought Taylor Lautner out at the Eras tour because they dated a long, long time ago. And like, right, they're buddies now and like they really enjoy each other. And so she brought him out and it was, he explains in an interview that it was a really long, it was the size of a football field, her stage because she performed in football arenas. And he said, I was walking out there by myself. She introduced me and I had to walk out with no one else, no backup dancers, no nothing. And I had to walk down this football field and I panicked and I thought, if you do a flip, you won't have to walk as long. So he did flips down the stage for a little bit. So he he does his own flips.
Good for him. I doubt it. I doubt he was wearing the high heels.
That would be really flipping. Hard to do.
That's really fucking impressive.
Yeah.
More so than, him bulking up for the role.
That was also impressive. Yeah, that's a level of dedication that I am awaiting to awaken in me, because that's just like pure grit.
Well, he almost lost the role.
Yeah, it's what you said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, they didn't think he could. And we talked about it in real time. They were dropping people like flies because the person who plays Victoria was different. Recasted.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
That's right.
She's actually a huge MAGA person. So.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Ugh,
fuck her anyway. But ruins that. She was, she's gorgeous. She was the person they originally wanted to play Victoria. And she turned it down originally because she didn't feel like it was going to become what it became. And so they casted someone else, and then she changed her mind, and they were like,
she okay, saw great. How well the first movie did. How mad would you be if you were the original actress?
Furious.
How mad would you be at everybody involved? She passed it up, but producers mm-hmm. are still going to be like, yep, like we want you. And you're yeah. like, excuse me, I didn't pass it up. And like, I did a phenomenal job because, I mean, Victoria by no means is like a like main character in my eyes, but she did a phenomenal job as. Oh, okay. See, in my, I guess I'd look at the core more than that. But like the girl did a phenomenal job. Like it was believable enough that these movies were good. Like
absolutely.
It was a Harry Potter like love and mm-hmm. appreciation by the fans.
Yeah, I only say she's a big character because like the first bad guy, you know, is James. Mm-hmm. And then she's really the antagonist for the second movie and the third movie.
I guess the second movie, she just wasn't very present.
No, because they're running away from her. Right. Mm-hmm. She's like.
Or she's like trying to like hunt them. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. OK. So maybe I'll feel a little different in the third. Because in the first one, I definitely felt like she was more of a prominent, like, primary right. character.
Because James is the bad guy.
Yeah, but she inserted herself quite a bit, so.
Well, because that's her mate. Mm-hmm. And so she's
mad. No, yeah, I'm agreeing, yeah. So, That's crazy. Anyway. Wow. Okay, what else?
Lucy Hale originally auditioned for Jane, which is Dakota Fanning's role.
No,
Dakota Fanning was the perfect person.
Yep, that was phenomenal. And it's really, she is just a great actress. I love Dakota Fanning. I think she does a great job. She was a great actress mm-hmm. when she was a kid. She's definitely like a natural. Like she's a like seeing her in this role is like perfect.
Absolutely. And I've got a fun fact for the last movie about her and the amount of total words she says in the entire movie.
Not a lot, is it?
No.
Okay, I was like, she was pretty quiet in this one, so I don't think it's she's not. Gonna get more chatty.
No, it only goes down from here. But no, she's great. Yeah. She's, I think it does a really good job.
Be interesting to know how much she made.
A lot, I think.
Which is crazy because she like doesn't talk.
It's the look. It's the face. It's all smiles.
Yeah, it's like she's doing full body acting and nothing else. That's mm-hmm. crazy. Okay, what else do you for have? Sure.
This is one of my favorite because, as you've probably gathered, Jasper, who's one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. So the person who played him, Jackson, they were during the scene where Kristen gets the paper cut, Bella gets the paper cut.
Yes,
he that final act, like his reaction. Like literally scared Kristen because she wasn't expecting him to go so aggressive. And he was like, oh, I just was like doing like method acting. But she was like, you were like way too much. And that was the scene that they used, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I thought was just hilarious.
That's got to be such a trip. Like being an actor and like putting yourself in a position where you're a completely different person and you're trying to like make this person a reality, and then you have like your co-actor who's like does it so well that it pulls you out of character because you're like actually scared. That's yeah. But what? That's fucking cool.
That's really good.
Oh, see, now I need to watch the movie again knowing that, because I feel like I might like that a little bit. We should have done the fun facts before and it would have gotten me hyped.
Well, now you know what you're doing for the rest of your day off.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the director wanted to show that Edward can move at non-human speeds, so the scene where Bella and Edward are arguing in the truck, a double dressed as Edward is actually the one driving the truck while Edward was waiting to come off scene. So while they're like arguing, mm-hmm. they were just waiting, and like he wanted it to go so fast. They like,
oh, I get when he like parks and then magically is at the door or whatever.
Yeah. And I think you even said something. You're like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, how did he get there?
And then it got me on a tangent of the rest of the movie. I'm like, okay, if he's moving at a speed to match Bella, he's thinking about that the whole time. He's
That's
like,
right. You go. Did say that.
Yeah. So that did a good
what
job.
A fun fact.
Yeah. That fact did a good job of making me the rest of the movie be like, God, this has got to be like a mental workout for him.
So that director, he did a really good job.
It kind of makes me feel like, yeah, it makes me feel like the Bella character is like so unaware of how hard he's working to even just exist with her.
She is. She is totally unaware.
And of how hard it is on him.
Okay. Even this whole movie when she's like, poor me, like he hates me, he left me, like he is living the rest of his life knowing like he's going to be alone.
Yeah.
And the rest of his life is literally
torture.
Eternity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh. So if on it, I think like I said, the character of Edward, he's so complex. Like, I got daddy issues.
Very toxic.
I love him so much.
That's actually, my therapist and I were talking and she asked like what we were doing. And I said we were watching Twilight movies and recording them for the podcast. And she goes, that sounds fun, but like horrible, horrible, toxic relationship. Like, I felt like as a therapist, she felt the need to literally be like, but like, don't idolize this.
I know. I didn't. It's fine. We all know who my husband is.
Yeah, no, you did great. You didn't marry Edward at all. No, no, no.
No, I just, oh my God,
if you were with the person that you were experiencing the breakup with at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was definitely my Edward. But I'd be with like a Zach Bagans type who definitely would think he's a vampire. Like I would literally be with like Edward.
Yeah, like you, it's almost like you were mourning the fact that you did not end up with someone like this.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right, more parallels. Amazing. Really deep on Leslie's psyche there, guys.
Oh God.
What is another fact?
Taylor was wearing a wig at the beginning of the movie when he still has his long hair. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It does look a little funky. Now it makes sense. I didn't know that.
You know, I honestly never notice the wig things when I'm watching them. I notice them after something is said, but never.
Like, oh yeah, that did look bad.
Yeah, yeah, but never like Rosalie's hair. I know for like almost every season is a wig and you can definitely tell.
So it's this movie on, and it's because her hair was falling out because they had to bleach it so much for the first one. Her hair was falling out, so she said, like, you're not touching my hair. Like,
I
so
don't understand
that's why, she wore a wig.
Why wig isn't where we start.
I know.
Why is it the other way around? Why did she have to experience, like, hair loss instead of, like, it's Hollywood. You could spend so much money on a wig that looks phenomenal. Yeah. Like, so instead of scrambling, they scrambled because her hair was falling out. But like, who in the costume department wasn't like, or the hair department?
Yeah, right.
You go to school to learn about those chemicals. Like, who in that department? And maybe someone did. Maybe someone said something and it was a director or a producer not listening. Either way, they failed her.
Yeah.
Because wigs are fine. Like, I don't feel like you need to mutilate your hair to have a role in something.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, just call a drag queen. Like, there are phenomenal wigs out there. Just call a drag queen.
Yeah.
And they would help with wigs so well. Hello. Sorry.
Hello.
Hello. No. All right. Hello. Next fact.
Every actor who is... part of the tribe, part of Jake's tribe. What is it? I don't want to say it wrong, and I know I will.
The indigenous tribe that
yes,
yeah,
that he's in. They all had to prove that they have indigenous heritage, so they all had to like show DNA ancestry and background.
But I love that. Cool. That's very cool. But not Jake's character though, just the actors in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that though. I mean, good. And
isn't Taylor,
huh?
Taylor, is Taylor not indigenous at all?
I don't know. I don't know his makeup.
I thought he was, but
and it makes sense if they made the background actors do it. Like, they should make the leading role have that as well.
The Quillettes. That's the
name. You go. But yeah, I really like that. And including when this movie came out, because it was like the mid 2000s. So I'm not going to say it was a very educated time. Yeah.
No.
So that's really impressive. I like that. No filter and that. That's the director's got it in my book.
Already better. Mm-hmm. This director is Chris Weitz, by the way.
Okay.
BuzzFeed is really coming in clutch. This is literally just I'm just scrolling. This is great.
They're answering all our questions.
This one I thought, okay, so let's see here. So production designer David Brisbane met the Quillette Executive Council prior to shooting, and there was a girl who gave him a drum that she had made, and so the drum is shown in Emily's home, which is Sam's fiance.
The one that he attacked. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the drum is displayed in her home. So
that's kind of nice. Cool.
That's a traditional, like a authentic drum.
I like that.
Let's see here. This one I thought was interesting because you asked me how they filmed this. So during the scene when she jumps off the, she does a cliff diving and she almost drowns.
Yeah.
They didn't want to risk. So they originally were going to put weights in her pockets to make her sink in a pool.
The safety manager was like, no.
Well, it was a 12-foot pool, and Kristen was like, I feel very uncomfortable about this. And supposedly the director was like, it's only 12 feet. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And
she's not a 12-foot tall woman. She can't just stand up.
No, that's just no. And so eventually he tried it.
Oh.
And he realized how
hard it was.
Dangerous. Mm-hmm. And
panicked maybe a little. Thought he was going to die.
Yes, exactly. So they didn't do that. They ended up just doing a horizontal. That's why she's laying like up like that. And it's just, it was a really quick. And I read that she had a cold. Kristen had a cold that day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they were trying to limit her water time anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the drama though. I'm glad that he decided to try it for himself.
Well, okay. So I was just thinking about that. Can you imagine how long it took, how many times she said no before he was like, I'll prove it.
That's a good point.
That feels like a lot of back and forth of like her, like hopefully just sticking to her guns and saying, mm-hmm. I mean, clearly it did work out that way. So like there's a good reminder to, you know, trust your gut and stick up for yourself and say no when you mean no.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay, see, we just praised him for the no filter and the indigenous stuff. And, like, it's not black and white. People can make good choices and bad choices, but that was a really bad choice for him to try to push that so hard. But good for him for changing trying it. Yeah.
Yeah. I normalize learning from your mistakes and saying, you know, I was wrong. I like that. So.
Yeah. Well, and real good leadership move. Instead of telling her you have to do it, saying, well, let me try it. Like, that's a good leader. So, okay.
And then being like, oh my God, that was really.
That was so stupid. You're right. You're a genius. All right. What else?
This is amazing. So the movie premiered on November 16th, 2009, which also happened to be a new moon.
Whoa.
Like of the lunar cycle.
Did you think they planned that?
I don't know, but I fucking am obsessed with it.
Is it cooler if they planned it or if they didn't?
I like it both ways.
Me too. Like one way feels like it's meant to be. The other way is like.
Yeah. Like if that was intentional, super smart.
Like amazing. Who? Yeah. Like good marketing strategy.
Love that for you guys.
They probably should get paid more money.
Yes, exactly. Like if that wasn't intentional, then we know this.
The universe really enjoys Twilight. This story.
So tell your therapist.
I will. I'll be like, okay, well, if we're going to believe what I believe, like this is actually like meant to be here.
Oh my God. That is so perfect.
Okay. I really like that fact. That was a good one. BuzzFeed. Wow.
I know. BuzzFeed coming in clutch here.
I wonder when that article was, if it was like when BuzzFeed began and they actually put out good content.
I can tell you. Here, hold on. I'll just remember 15.
Okay, 15.
This came out in 2018.
Oh,
so well after
their good content. Yeah, I'm impressed because, you know, if you followed BuzzFeed, and I did, I really liked their YouTube videos back in the day. Yep. There was a time of like really phenomenal content in the beginning, and then it kind of dropped down a little bit. And then they had some really good like groups. Not all the content was good, but those specific groups were good. And then it all dropped when those groups left. BuzzFeed Chronicles. Okay, continue to 15.
15. This is Kristen's favorite book and movie to act out as well, because she said she got to reach the ultimate lows and ultimate highs.
So she's someone who deals with depression. We were right.
Mm-hmm.
Because only someone who's been to the ultimate lows knows how to act out the ultimate lows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. Taylor said that he started training at the gym the day that he finished filming Twilight, the first one.
Okay. Well, I mean, because he knew that they needed to take him from what he was to this like out of this world being.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Dedication.
Well, because they were talking about his name is Michael Coupon, possibly being the new Jacob.
I don't know who that is.
He looks cute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could see it.
And he definitely looks like he's just a bigger person.
Yeah, like, he's probably taller and probably has more body mass just naturally. But that's, I mean, but they do, like, at his prime, like, he does look a lot like him.
Well, so Taylor said he had to consume 4,000 calories a day, a minimum. Of 4,000 calories a day.
Jesus.
When he was working out, when he was getting in that good of shape. That's so much. That's crazy.
A lot of food.
That's insane.
That would, I honestly think that would make me hate food.
I mean, I guess you're just working out so much. So you're just like, I wonder if that's literally all he was doing. I'm curious if he was just working out all fucking day.
You know, with how successful that first movie was, probably that was probably the first time that he was financially stable enough to like not need a job.
Well, and I'm curious if he comes from wealth, if he's got mommy and daddy.
I don't know.
Because he's Shark Boy and you know, he's from Shark
Boy. He was a child actor, so that is true. So maybe there was a little bit of both having the privilege to not have to worry about work.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl, that wasn't really my thing, but I know that was like really big when we were kids. I don't know why I didn't get into it. I think I was more into Spy Kids, and in my head it was like you're either one or the other.
Hmm. Well, let me see here. I've just looked up Taylor Lautner. I'm sorry, I'm so intrigued.
No, you're fine.
So his net worth estimate is 40 to 45 million.
Oh my God.
He became wealthy after starring in Twilight film series where he earned $45 million. So his money is literally from these movies.
Good for him. He earned it.
Yeah. No, honestly. Seriously, honestly, he did a great job. Like being.
He's perfect. The perfect Jacob.
Yeah. Well, in being that dedicated, like he deserved, like he worked for that check.
And yeah. He did. Well, and he also talks about how it was 35 degrees when they were filming and he's like running around shirtless and he's like wet and he's like,
yeah,
you know, fucking starving because he's been eating 4,000 calories.
I would like to say that his mom worked at a software development company and his dad was a pilot. So
he probably was a rich kid.
So he at least lived comfortably and probably had mom and dad to fall back on for help. But hey, he did the work, though. His parents weren't actors, so at least there was no nepotism that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, okay, what else did BuzzFeed tell us?
This is their last fun fact. So Michael Sheen, who plays Aro, who is the creepy Volturi, he's the head of the Volturi.
Oh, the main guy, the main one. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. I was like giggles.
I was imagining the one that seemed bored with everything.
No.
Okay, okay. I like that one. Honestly, best part of that movie, the bored vampire. Best thing ever.
He's got a name.
I'm sure.
we can Google it after I tell you this fun fact.
Okay.
But I love that. He's, I mean, they're in the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
The whole Tory are, so you'll see him again. But Michael, so when he accepted this role, like he auditioned and accepted the role, he knew nothing about Twilight or New Moon or anything. But his daughter was like a huge fan. So his daughter like convinced him to take it. And that's the only reason why he did it. So
it's kind of like
he's being a good dad.
It's kind of like the original Dumbledore. His granddaughter threatened to never speak to him again if he wasn't Dumbledore.
And he was the best Dumbledore.
He was perfect. I like to imagine Harry Potter segue for a moment. I like to imagine that in the moment of the Goblet of Fire, you know what I'm talking about, when in the books he gently asks Harry, and I imagine that actor acting out that scene every time, and it's perfect. And then we have throw Harry up against the wall, and you were doing a fabulous impression. Could you do it one more time?
Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? It's not like I've seen that movie a couple of times.
And it's not like we've read the books to remember that that's wrong. So,
right.
Their first choice was perfect.
Like, if we're talking about like character development, okay, again, this is not a Harry Potter episode.
No, but we have to talk about it.
But, like, okay, so first Dumbledore was so calm and gentle, which, like, that was who Dumbledore was in the books the whole times. But Dumbledore himself, you know, he wasn't super great. He had a lot of regrets when it comes
to... He was greedy.
Right. And he has a lot of regrets when it comes to, like, Grindelwald and his sister. I don't know if you remember that part in the books.
Yep.
Like, so he was, like, not... And he, like, lied to Harry. He kind of used Harry to fight the Dark Lord. So, like... Dumbledore was kind of like, he's a good person, but he also is kind of like a not great person.
He's got characteristics of Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that, the second Dumbledore is good for that. Like,
yes,
he does have that like kind of sharp kind of like, especially near the end, like he does Dumbledore really well. But when Harry's a kid, that Dumbledore is still really calm and is still really gentle.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, I wished that maybe, you know, when the series starts to get dark, that's when second Dumbledore can come in.
Yeah. Okay, well, Leslie, that was phenomenal fun facts. Holy guacamole.
Thank you, BuzzFeed.
Yeah, thank you, BuzzFeed, and thank you, Leslie, for finding that.
You're welcome.
That was good. So overall, like...
Final thoughts.
And then I think where we're leaning on the Edward versus Jacob side. Ooh, okay. I feel like we have to talk about that at every movie watch too.
Agreed.
What are your initial thoughts on what this movie and how it ranks for you as the fan?
I love this movie. I've already kind of spoken passionately about it, but I connect with this movie so much, especially this one in particular, because in real time I was experiencing exactly what she's depicting, and it just takes me back, you know. It just is so crazy. I feel like I'm 15 again.
Well, and sorry to jump in, but like,
no, you're good.
How fulfilling as a teenager to watch your feelings back at you.
Absolutely. It's
like, was it very validating for you to be like, I can feel this way. It's okay. If Bella feels this way, I can feel this way.
You know what? I've never even thought about that. But like, yes, like as a kid, when you're a teenager, and it's not just like me, this is not just me. You are told like your feelings are invalid, or you don't know what you're feeling. You're not in love. You're a kid.
You're not old enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know what these feelings are. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're right. Like, an adult woman wrote this book, and this entire book is about a teenage girl going through a heartbreak.
Yeah.
And like, you're right. Like, it is very validating. Like, it is allowed. I was really feeling those things. Like,
yeah. Well, and I think like the generation that raised us, they, you know, they did, at least I feel like with the parents that I was around, they did a lot of parenting of like, I've gone through this. Let me just tell you, it gets better. Like, they kind of parented for the future of like, you're going to get through this. It's going to get better. I know I don't know anything, but I've gone through this. And I feel like maybe a generational thing that millennials might do, I don't want to generalize and say a whole generation does it, but a lot probably are more validating in those feelings. Like, if you know, if Ravioli came to you as a teenager talking about her heartbreak, I know for a fact you are going to be like, girl, I get it.
Like, this is real.
It feels like the end of the world. I totally understand. Yeah. So like, I personally think that like, that experience that you're talking about is what might have shaped a generation with how they might treat their kids. Like, as crazy as it sounds, because it's fucking Twilight. But honestly, like, it probably shaped quite a few people to not want to parent that way.
Well, I've said, like, I always have lived vicariously through fiction, and it's like Harry Potter and this. Like, this is why I don't watch or read new things. Like, I'll just rewatch Twilight and Harry Potter, because it really has like molded. I know they say it's like chuggy or whatever. It's like lame that we're so millennial. We're, you know, that we talk about this, but there were life lessons that we like learned and read as children and young adults that really have like shaped who we are as 30-year-old women.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And like, I don't think I would be this invested in this series without your intel of like, because like, as a 30-year-old woman watching this for the first time, I'm like, oh my God,
this
like,
awful. Yeah,
this relate, like, sure. This is everything I have learned is unhealthy as an adult. Like, so I can kind of do maybe our parents' moment of looking back being like, no,
yeah,
this isn't healthy. Level, don't idolize this relationship.
See, my parents just didn't know what I was reading.
Well,
they just had no idea.
My parents didn't either.
Except Harry Potter. My mom did read Harry Potter, but
yeah, no, my parents didn't know either. I think I'm gonna be so annoying with Ravioli. I'm probably gonna be like, let's both book
what
club.
What are we reading? Yeah, let's. What are we reading?
I'm gonna be very Regina George's mom.
Can I be in book club?
Yeah, you can be in book club.
Okay,
too.
Cool, perfect.
But yeah, I don't know. I just like. So I understand like what you're saying. I can put myself back into my first heartbreak and thinking that that was going to end me and all of those feelings that, and like, what's crazy too, is like, we had the same feelings. We just dealt with them alone. Like,
right. We just didn't talk about it.
No, like I knew you sympathized with me because you'd been through it. You knew I had, and still we like processed it alone. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. Like, so as a 30-year-old, I can put my head back in the teenage and I can understand why this was such a big fucking deal back then with the teenies.
Yeah.
But like, as a 30-year-old, I can also watch it and be like, Edward's pretty toxic. Jacob's also very possessive and pretty toxic.
Yeah, he's pretty possessive.
Yeah. So
the problem with Jacob is that he's very self-conscious and he lacks self-confidence, and so he, you know, holds on tight because he thinks that's how he's gonna retain it.
Yeah, and it works in the opposite. So no, I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to get it.
I'm glad. I'm so glad.
It. Yeah, like, this is, I am definitely on my day off of just cleaning and being about the house, I am definitely gonna like turn on like True Blood or something. Like, I want to get back into this like vampire vibe. So it is awakening that with me as well.
Good. I love that. We're turning into little vampires.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, we, you know,
let's get fangs.
No, I already have some. Mine are pretty bangy already.
There was so a YouTuber.
I'd be interested to see if they could fit more onto this point.
There's a YouTuber who's now been canceled, but her name is Mikey. Mm-hmm. And she got fangs, and they looked so good. They looked amazing.
I wonder how expensive those are.
I don't even want to think about it.
Because you would have to, like, it would involve a dentist.
Yeah, no, it was dental work. Yeah. I think they're like dentures. I think it's like a denture
that she just slaps on mm-hmm. when she wants it. They'd need to come off for me.
I don't know if she still has it. I don't know. Like I said, she stopped posting and kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Oh. But,
anyway.
Well, okay. So when we're making that big podcast money and we have money to blow on stupid shit, then we can get thanks.
Okay, perfect. I'm so excited.
Well, and I have the vampire laugh to go with the vampire fangs, you know, when it really gets up and going. It does sound like I sound like I should be on the Volturi sometimes with the...
You're saying you have an evil laugh? Okay.
I do. I think I have, like, it's a mix between Scary Spice and like an evil like villain that just told you their entire plan.
I laugh like Patrick, so it's fine.
Then the final question, Jacob or Edward, where are we falling, Leslie? For I know the overall, but this movie specifically, where do you find yourself?
This movie specifically, Team Jake.
Obviously. Me too.
He's such a sweetie.
Edward left her in the woods. We didn't even talk about that. Edward broke up with her, left her in the woods, deep in the woods, so mm-hmm. deep that a search party was formed to find her.
And that, spoiler alert, werewolf had to find her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jake is just such a sweetie. He's so nice.
He really just wants to be there for her.
And he just loves her. He, like, that's just it. He loves her so much that he doesn't know how to, like, articulate it or...
Mm-hmm. Put it into mm-hmm. words. Yeah. So I'm Team Jake.
Team Jake.
Last movie, I think we talked Team Charlie. So I did shift. I did shift because... Because there wasn't a lot of Charlie in this movie.
There was a moment though where I thought he was being a good dad, and I looked over at you and I was like, are you creaming your jeans or something like that?
Yeah, like I think at the end of this overall I'm gonna be Team Charlie. Like that's my prediction for myself. But this movie specifically, I feel like I fixated it on it a lot, but I was so mad that he left her in the woods, and it just kept getting worse. She kept expecting that he would come help her, I think.
Right. Yeah, no, she absolutely did. She just kept walking because I think she thought that he didn't actually leave.
Yeah.
And that's why she got so lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And not then, cool. So for me, this is kind of, what?
Sorry. No, go ahead.
My prediction is he was there. I don't think he really left. I really don't. I think he... In my brain, maybe the reason I get so mad at this is I don't believe he loves her so much. I don't believe he would actually not know or not have Alice predict, like, looking mm-hmm. into her. Like, he was watching her somehow, in my opinion. And I think that makes it worse because it's like, so you watched her struggle. You know what I mean?
I do. I don't know if he... I always felt like he did. I felt like he...
Oh, he, like, left. See, I felt mm-hmm. like he couldn't eat no matter what. You know how much he loves her. In my mind, I felt like he, like, literally couldn't. So maybe that's why it riles me up so much, because I think he was actually there still watching.
Alice is the one who tells him that Bella died, or that when she thought that Bella died,
mm-hmm.
it was Alice that told him he wasn't, like, keeping check on her. Like, Alice said Bella's dead, and that's why he called Charlie, if I remember right, in the book. But I'm pretty sure she has written his side of the story.
She has, yep, because I haven't told the explorers, but I am listening to the audiobooks. Yep, I'm doing a twofer. So I'm still
to those ones.
Not yet, but I'm on Twilight still. But I did download his book for the Twilight mm-hmm. version, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to Twilight, listen to his version, and then go on to New Moon, because I don't want to go back and forget. Yeah, Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to do that too. I wonder if I can find my books. I have them somewhere. I wonder if I can find them.
Oh, cute. Them. On your sabbatical, and then you just like have like reading time.
See, when I had my transplant, I reread Harry Potter. That was the last time I reread Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I've never reread Twilight ever.
Really?
I only read it that one time.
You should. Okay, so maybe if you can find your books and you can kind of do this thing, maybe we could throw on talking about the movies and the books.
Yeah, because I do feel like they are very word for word, though. If I remember it, I don't feel like there's much like.
No, I remember too. Like, and maybe that's why the books and the movies kind of mold together for me, and I can't remember a memory. Mm-hmm. If something triggers a memory while we watch these, I can't remember if it's me remembering the book or the watching the movie. But I do remember moments where I'm like, oh yeah, like him, the whole family leaving. And mm-hmm. like his house being empty, like I recalled that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you're right. I think that they are pretty word for word, except for that last one. So
yes,
but all right. Well, and you're Team Jake. I'm Team Jake. We've kind of talked about where things lie. Anything else that you want to impart on the people, Leslie?
I was just gonna say that when I was reading this, my Edward for mm-hmm. sure would have left me in the woods.
Yeah.
So
I and not looked back. Yeah.
No, he would have left.
Yeah.
So
he would have left you in the woods while he was calling you Spider Monkey. Like he.
We wouldn't even have made it that far.
No, like he was pretty self-focused. Yep.
So that's all I was gonna say.
So I really like I do feel like I am getting an insight to teenage Leslie, because like we were still friends, we were still doing that, but like I said, we both dealt with heartbreak separately, so like
we didn't talk about feelings back then.
No. And so mm-hmm. I can identify that there was this piece of you that I didn't know back then, and I thought I understood what was going on, but I didn't completely understand. And now that I'm watching this movie, I'm like, oh my God, the feelings that you were going through.
There were so many feelings.
Yeah.
I had so many feelings. I didn't go to school for like 3 days.
Yeah. No, like your mom was.
I know.
Nancy for the win. Like Nancy definitely, in that moment, Nancy understood that you needed to grieve.
I remember, I don't remember who it was, but there was like a boy in our friend group that was like, you're going home. Like I remember I was like, yeah, I'm leaving school. And he was like,
and I'm sure that friend, that person was probably like, my parents would never let me go home.
Probably. Thank you, mom and dad.
Yeah. That was a parenting win.
Yeah. But that just goes to show you how rough.
Yeah,
it really was. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had lots of feelings. All that to say, I'm so glad that you loved it. I loved it as well. And
I get it.
I really think I'm going to maybe watch that movie tonight.
So I've actually been thinking about it too. So
Robbie's now working. Yeah, I've been binging scary stuff. I might as well just take a little break.
Okay. Yeah. So put on a little romance.
I mean, it's sad, but yeah.
Yeah. Devastating romance.
Yeah. Anyway, those are my final thoughts. Thanks for entertaining me for a second time.
Of course.
So on that note, sorry, I just realized you're waiting for me to say this. On that note, we will spook you next Tuesday.
Bye.